Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Yeah, nothing like sitting down for stand up for Jesus. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, Jesus said. These words were spoken to the royal official whose son was at the point of death, and to the Galileans who welcomed him when he came back to Cana, where he did his first miracle, that famous one where he made water into wine, because ours is a God of jubilation and joy that gladdens the heart, but not too much, right? A little wine, not too much. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, he says. When Jesus turned the water into wine at the wedding at Cana, John wrote, the same John whose gospel we're in right now, John wrote that that miracle of turning the water into wine manifested Christ's glory. It made it visible for people to see. And his disciples, John says, believed in him. John 2:11. The sign led to belief. The miracle led to faith. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Now, Jesus did many miracles, many signs and wonders during his earthly ministry. The greatest one of all, of course, being his resurrection after being crucified, lying in the grave for 3 days, getting back up again, being fully alive, never to die again. The greatest of all miracles. The miracle to which all the signs point, right? All miracles point to the cross and the empty tomb. And then after Jesus' death, he shows the signs of his death to his disciples, right? The wounds in his hands where the nails had tacked him to the cross, and the cut in his side when he was stuck by the spear of the centurion. Thomas doubted Jesus. He doubted that this guy could come back alive. Certainly the death on the cross, this grueling capital punishment, killed him dead. Not just killed him, but killed him dead. He can't get up from that. That's why we call Thomas Doubting Thomas. To which Jesus comes into this locked room, this incomprehensible way, just enters the room, and he shows Thomas the signs of the wonder that Jesus is very much alive. Look, put your finger here, he says. Thrust your hand into the opening in my side if you want. Look and see. He encourages Thomas to feel these wounds. And he says, do not disbelieve, but believe. To which Thomas replies, my Lord and my God, it is you. You are alive. I now believe because I have seen the sign. I can't help it. I wasn't going to do this. I saw the sign. You opened up my eyes. Sorry. What does Jesus say to him after that? Thomas, have you believed because you have seen me? The unmistakable proof of his miraculous resurrection. The undeniable sign that Jesus was the Savior because he said he was going to do what he said. He did, right? Can you follow that? Then Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What a tremendous feat it is to believe in Christ crucified and resurrected for your eternity without seeing signs and wonders, without seeing miracles that prove he's the Messiah. God made man, the creator of this whole world, come into it to save us from our sinful selves and that diabolical devil. It would be impossible if not for the Holy Spirit. Such a great a feat it is, right? That's horrible English. Do you know what John the Evangelist, the gospel writer, says to us in his book after this Jesus-Thomas interaction? Do you know what he says? The end of the book. We're getting to the end of John's gospel. He tells us about doubting Thomas. He tells us about him seeing these signs and wonders. And then he gives us this beautiful paragraph. John writes, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book of mine," John says. "But these signs that I have recorded for you, they are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in Christ, you may have life in his name." And he's talking immortal, unending life. John 20, 30 and 31. Jesus did many, many signs while he was on this earth. Miracles. Not just the ones we have in the Gospels, but the ones that are recorded by John and the other writers. John says were written so that you would believe that the man named Jesus, the guy who was born in Nazareth, who was born at the time of Herod and crucified under Governor Pontius Pilate, that real historical figure that, like your insert shows, all evidence says really lived and really taught and really died and really came back alive, that guy, those signs are recorded so that guy could be your Savior, so that you would believe in him. Because unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And maybe you're thinking of the Genesis reading, creation, right? John recorded the signs and wonders of Jesus in his gospel so that you would believe in the Creator, as we heard about in our Old Testament reading. The creator of the world. Not just some kind of creator. Not a deity, but the deity. The creator who's revealed in Jesus. It's one thing to say you believe in a creator. It's another to say I know his name. It's Yahweh. It's Jesus. It's the Trinity. Revealed in Christ. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Jesus knows we need to see signs, we need to see wonders if we're going to believe this stuff. He knows we need evidence. We need encouragement. We need motivation to believe in him. Because in our sin, we are nothing if not skeptical. If you still have the creation account in your mind, I'd strongly implore you to start considering creation as a sign that points to Christ. When you see in this world, what you see in this world is the natural revelation of God. You can look around and you can say, this stuff did not just happen by chance. It has an artist's fingerprint all over it. When you can say that, you're recognizing there is a God. Let that be a giant neon sign that says he's right here in particular. Right where? Jesus. That guy. The same guy that could create wine out of water. Well, how could he do that? Because he created all of this stuff out of nothing. The signs that Jesus did in his earthly ministry, which the Holy Spirit inspired John and the other gospel writers to record, are the special, specific revelation of just who that Creator God is. That his name is Yahweh, and that he signed the canvas so you would know he was there. He even dated it. And all of our calendars from now on have been dated based on his signature, right? A.D., B.C., and all that stuff. Don't buy into the garbage that the secular world's doing with the B.C.E. and the blah, blah, blah. That's just their way of getting around Jesus. Everything is fixed on this God coming into creation. He changed all of human history. He put his footprint in the sand and we can't not see it. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the creator of this world, and he is our Savior who died and rose again, leaving us a giant, unmistakable sign that we would believe in him. All right, now after the official asks Jesus to heal his son, let me bring you back to our gospel, okay? After the official asks Jesus to heal his son, Jesus says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Then what does Jesus do after that? He simply speaks a word. Go, your son will live. That's it. That's all he does. He speaks a word from a distance. A huge distance, a day's journey apparently. Because the man believed that the word that Jesus spoke to him would work, and he went on his way. And he was going down, going back home, and his servants met him. And they told him his son was getting better. Now pay attention here. Use your investigative mind. So he asked them, his servants, well, what hour did he begin to get better? When did this start taking place? And they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour. That's when the fever left him. The father knew that that hour, that seventh hour, was when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself, we are told, believed. Now, he already believed. So we get this extra belief in our gospel. He believes a lot now. Like, really believes. He's locked in. But not just him, his whole household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. Right? Jesus speaks a word. That's the sign. That's the miracle. That it healed the boy, though Jesus never went to him, never entered the house, never touched the kid. His word spoken from that day's journey distance was the sign. And how did the official, the father, how did he discern the sign, the miracle? How did he discern it? He used his human reason. He used his God-given brain to figure it out. He calculated when Jesus had spoken the word in comparison to when his son's fever broke and he was returned to life. And that sign, that very, very boring sign, a calculation, that emboldened the man's faith. Like I said, he was already a believer. But we're told that after that, he believes even more. He was locked into this Jesus thing, never to fall away. And his household was impacted by it, and that's important. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. We're in the same shoes, not as the royal official, but as his household. If you're trying to put yourself in the story, you're definitely not Jesus, and you're not the royal official. You're the son, the one lying on his deathbed. You're the one who heard of the events that transpired and believed in Christ. The whole household believes. We've heard of Jesus' reputation, that he's this Messiah, this Christ come to save us. He's the guy that people say turned water into wine and did a bunch of other stuff, including dying on the cross for me, for you. We've heard his reputation. We heard that he got up from the grave 3 days later, that death couldn't defeat him. And like in the gospel reading, we get that word spoken to us by Christ. He tells you that stuff directly, personally, but from a distance. through his pastors. Right now, this is what's happening to you. It's the same life-giving word that Jesus spoke to the official for his son. It heals us of our sin just as it healed the son from the point of death. And when it's pointed out how we are healed, when the events of the cross are spoken to us, repeated for our understanding, what's the response? But faith, belief. We believe in Christ, trusting in Jesus, not merely on account of his reputation, but because we now have firsthand experience with his healing ways. Don't you have firsthand experience with his healing ways? Yes, you do. Not physically, but real experience nonetheless. Just like the son. The son never went up and saw Jesus physically. The son never heard Jesus' words spoken to him physically. His eardrums didn't resonate with Jesus' word physically. All that stuff happened to the father, the official, but not to the son. He was too busy lying on his deathbed to get up. He was stuck at home, right? You're the son who was at the point of death, and Jesus said, you are forgiven. Go, live. He spoke his word to you, saying you will live, and now you believe him. You're the son, not the father. You're the one who doesn't interact with Jesus as directly as you would like to, but who received the miraculous benefit of Jesus' word nonetheless. You were baptized in the waters of salvation, and Christ turned those waters into that wine on the altar. Communion, which strengthens your faith, keeping you in the faith, locking you into this Jesus thing. Not only as one who has seen signs and wonders, but who has received them for your own personal benefit. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, Jesus said. And he is so true. He is so right. The boy and the whole household saw the sign just as much as the father did, even though they never encountered this guy named Jesus physically. You're seeing a sign right now, if you're paying attention. Christ is speaking his healing word to you right now. You are forgiven of your sins. You will live forever. Your body will be resurrected at the last day. You believe. Because you have no reason not to. All the signs, all the evidence, you can figure it out, you can rationalize it, you can use your brain, and you can come to the conclusion that this Jesus thing is the most logical. It is the most accurate. It is the most honest and truthful. John recorded Christ's miracles for you so that you would believe. It's all before you in the good book. Every last sign that he did for your faith. Your Creator has spoken. Your God has come to save you from your sin and to heal you from the point of death. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. See the cross. Remember your baptism, your new birth, that miraculous birth. Christ died upon the cross to shed his blood to save you from your sin, to save you from your physical death, and to save you from eternal hell. He was resurrected on the third day, no longer killed dead, but now very much alive. What a sign that is! A miracle verified by trustworthy eyewitnesses, and as your insert shows, corroborated by archaeology and history and enemies of the faith, people who do not want to admit that Jesus lived, have no choice but to say he did. And that he died, and that what? He was alive again. These are not people who want you to believe it, but they're honest. And so they recorded it. And now you see the sign, and you believe. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus, the healer of your life, to life everlasting. Amen.